to welcome everybody to River Valley this weekend. If you're joining us online, thank you for worshiping with us. We're so grateful. People from all over the country and all over the world at different times are just tune in to watch us online, and we hope worship is incredible for you today as well. Thanks for joining us. As you saw in the intro video, we are in a series called Love Gives, and this is the final week of the series. It's a three-week series, and if you missed week one or two, go online, watch it, be a part of what God's doing. I believe every week has been special. I believe God's got something to share with each and every one of us. Excuse me. And this weekend, I feel is no different. I feel like none of us are here by accident. I feel like every one of us, God has something special to share with our lives. And again, just encourage you to be a part of all that God is doing. And can I say thank you for those that we've heard email, we've seen emails, and people have called in as a response to this series saying, you know what? I love what we're learning. I am in on giving. I love learning about generosity. Some are saying, I'm not going to focus anymore like an owner. I'm going to try to live my life like a steward. Some are saying, I'm going all in, and I'm going to be obedient to God with my tithe. And people are just sharing stories of wins and how God has been faithful. So thank you for responding that way. And how many think it's a great thing that River Valley, that we are in a church that loves God's truth? Amen? Anybody else feel that way? Come on, don't you feel that way? I think it's awesome, yeah, that we're in a church, no matter what the series is, we're like, okay, God, show us what the Word says. It'll challenge us, it'll stretch us, it'll inspire us, but we want to lean into everything that God is teaching us. So again, this weekend's week three. Let's jump in, and I want to begin by asking you two questions, and I'll ask you to kind of process this with me and think about it, and kind of put yourself in answering this question on your own. But the first one is this: where do you most enjoy spending your money on? What do you most enjoy spending your money on or giving your money to? What do you most enjoy? And I'll say, other than God, right? Because everybody's going to say God, right? So in addition to God, what do you most enjoy spending your money on or giving your money to? And so I'll ask you, let's walk through a couple of these things. Is there anybody that enjoys a really nice vacation? It's okay to admit that. Some of you like that. All right. Is there anyone that enjoys spending money on your kids? Can I see your hands? And by the way, if you have kids, just put them up because they're going to cost you money. Amen. Right? How about hobbies? Is there anybody's like, I like spending money on my hobbies? I mean, that boat is a money pit, but I love it, and it's just something special. I love spending money on my wife Jane. Don't tell her that. By the way, I tease her quite a bit, but I do. I love spending money. Does anybody say, I love spending money on my home? I like making my home nice. Not too many homes. Oh, there's a few of you. Again, it's okay to admit that. I remember I was so excited to spend money on my first used car. I was 17 years old. I'd saved up $450, and I was so excited to buy this car. I bought this car, and I enjoyed it for about 30 days, right? And you say, why 30 days? Here's what I realized. 30 days in, I realized it was way cheaper to drive my mom and dad's car. Way cheaper. So I sold that car 90 days later and for $425. So it was a $25 lesson. That's not too bad, is it? So it's just, how many enjoy giving gifts? It's a generosity series, people. How many like giving gifts? All right, there's a few more that says, I'm in. Let's shift the question. What do you least enjoy spending money on? Huh? What do you think? Don't scream taxes. This isn't a Trump rally. All right, hang in there. All right. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. That wasn't in my notes. How about debt? Anybody like me, you just dislike spending money on debt. It's just not fun. I'll tell you another one that sometimes people don't like spending money on is retirement. Retirement, even though it's wise, even though they got to remember the principle of delayed gratification, in the moment, right? It doesn't feel like one of those fun things to spend money on. How about, this is one of the things I hate spending money on is interest. Interest on loans. Does anybody else hate that? I hate spending money. Interest on loans. I remember Jane and I were married 3 years. We bought our first home. We got our first mortgage. And interest rates were about 8 or 9% back then. And we bought our home. And I remember after closing, I started to look at something called an amortization chart. I had never seen one before. Our payment was $750. I remember that. And I remember looking at like the first 24 payments on this chart. And my interest payment of the $750 was like $732. And my principal was like $18. Seriously, I remember I was in the kitchen, kind of hollered out to Jane, honey, we'll have this thing paid off in 70 years. It's awesome. You know, our $68,000 house. But it's just, I hate paying interest. It's one of those things. How about bad restaurant food? Oh, come on, right? There's almost nothing worse than paying money. How about a speeding ticket? Oh, that is just terrible. So I've been told, but it's just terrible. Have to spend money on that. Last one I would say for me is a cable bill. Oh, I don't know what you, every month I feel hurt, literally, when I pay. I don't have any premium channels or anything like that. I just don't know how they can cost so much. I ask you that because in December, I was on a missions trip to Cambodia, and I was with a number of pastors. We were working with a missions agency that's a strategic partner of Kingdom Builders. And so we were there for a few days, and we were in this town, city called Siem Reap. And about 90 minutes outside, I went to a dedication ceremony of a school, a Christian school that had just been built that this ministry had helped to resource. And Kingdom Builders is a part of that. And so I was there, and it was a dedication ceremony. And the school, in just a couple years, had grown to close to 700 children. Over 200 children had come to Jesus Christ already. It was exciting, and we got to be a part of that. And I was on the platform, and all these cool things were happening. There's probably 300-400 people in this dedication ceremony. I was sitting up there. Somebody else was talking at the pulpit. And I remember I just felt like God spoke to me, and it asked me this question. Darren, where do you most enjoy spending in investing your money? Where do you most enjoy? What lights your fire? What do you most enjoy spending your money on? And sometimes I've learned God can ask us trick questions, right? But that was one of those questions that just kind of rocked me in that moment a couple months ago when I was in Cambodia. 1 Timothy 6 says, teach those who are rich. I'll pause here. Rich in this context means those that have a surplus. Anybody else around the world would look at us and call us rich. It's not rich by American standards. It's those that live with a surplus more than just their needs. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Look at this. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyments. Can I pause there? Did you know that God's okay with Christians enjoying things? Did you know that? Say amen, church. God's okay with that. We got to have the right heart. We got to have the right spirit about it. But it's okay to enjoy the blessings of God in our lives. And he says, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. Almost on a weekly basis around River Valley, we'll get a call at the office. I feel several of these calls a month, but every week we'll probably get a call from a church somewhere in the country that's heard about the generosity of River Valley Church. And they'll ask this question, how did River Valley become so generous? Tell us the story. What's the secret sauce? How did the church become so generous? They hear that our church supports 230 missionaries every month. And they're just like, wow, how does the church do that? They've heard stories about Kingdom Builders and the millions of dollars going to projects and all this different stuff. And they'll ask that question, and they'll often say, hey, what's the secret? And I will often respond, you know, Pastor Rob's has a generous heart, has always had a heart for the world. It's the church's heart. It's God's heart. I always say God gets the credit for everything good happening in our lives, everything good happening in our church. And it happens almost every week we'll get those calls. And it's super encouraging to hear that. And we're thankful to God that churches around the country look at River Valley and say, wow, that's a generous church. But here's what I'm feeling that I want to share with you this weekend of week three of Love Gives. Let me ask you this question. What if, I'm super thankful for the generosity of our church, but what if every Christian that was part of River Valley Church was faithful to tithe and then to give generously as God led? What would happen? Just what if? What if? Do you realize just one thing that would come from that is we would be supporting 1,000 missionaries every month? How many think that would be pretty special, right? 1,000 missionaries every month. And the list could go on of what we could do. And I ask that question because here's what I feel. If in no other place than if our giving series, since this is God's best, let's aim for God's best. Let's talk about God's best. Let's go for God's best, right? And just say, God, we want everything that you have for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I love this passage. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide an increase, and he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that, look at those two words, so that you can always be generous. You will be enriched by God, you and I are, so that we can always be generous. We use the phrase, blessed to be a blessing. We use that phrase. It's not because it's a cute phrase, it's biblical. God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing to others, help other people see their needs met and them find Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Looking and studying for this weekend's message, I was looking, what are some of the benefits that generous people receive and just what the, some of the things that they get to enjoy? I found just several of them. Generous people sleep better. How many like to sleep better, right? Generous people sleep better. Generous people have closer family unity. Their families are just closer. Their relationships are just better. I found that generous people tend to live longer. That's a good thing, isn't it? Generous people live longer. Generous people have more joy. They're just happier people overall. I'm like, I want that in my life. Generous people have better friendships. Just better friendships, more healthier friendships. And the last one, hey, single guys, listen to this. Women are attracted to generous men. I'm not going to explain why, but they are. Right? I mean, there's so many benefits. So what I want to do is I want us to unpack or kind of discover a little bit what generosity really means in God's eyes. Not our eyes, but in God's eyes. And we're going to begin this journey, and I'm going to share with you three foundations. You may want to write these down, and they are about generosity, but let's look at them together. The first one is this: obedient giving begins with tithing. Obedient giving begins with tithing. Week one, we talked all about this, and you can watch it if you missed week one. It was all, a lot of it was about this understanding the tithe belongs to the Lord, the first 10%. So this isn't a pressure thing. If you are a Christ follower, biblically, these are our three foundations to generosity. So the first one is obedient giving begins with tithing. Here's the second one. Generosity begins beyond the tithe. Doesn't matter what I think, it's just what God's word says. When we start giving beyond our tithe, the Bible talks about that's where generosity kicks in. That's where it begins, is beyond the tithe. So the last one is so important, this last foundation. Generosity is about the heart, not about the numbers. Generosity is all about the heart. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. It's not about the numbers. It's about our heart, the place we're giving from. Some people hear about giving and generosity and they feel legalistic or they feel pressured or they feel it's all about this or this or this. That's not God's heart. God wants generosity to come from our heart. And he says it's not all about the numbers. We have so many incredible stories of generosity across River Valley. This weekend, we get to watch a story of generosity of a young family in our church and a young lady that stepped out and said yes to what God was prompting her to do in the area of generosity. Let's watch this together.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Emily. And these are our kids.
I'm Gabby.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Macy.
Our heart as a couple and a family is to do our part in reaching the lost and taking what God has blessed us with as a family and try to leverage it and use it as the way God wants us to and how he wants to steward us.
Missions has always been important to Mark and I, and mm-hmm. something that the Lord has really put passionately on our hearts to reach and care for the lost and hurting of the world. And we've shared that with our kids.
Kingdom Builders is something that we've just been passionate about it since we've been at the church. It's beyond the church walls.
Well, my mom and dad have been on a lot of global trips in the past, and they would come home and tell us all about them and all the people who haven't heard about the Lord. And so I really wanted to help with that, and so I started praying about the goal that I should raise.
I remember the day we were in the van, and it had maybe been 3 or 4 days after the girl started praying, and Gabby was sitting next to me. She said, Mom, I think I know what I'm supposed to do this year.
And the Lord gave me the number $5,000.
That number was a very big number for a 10-year-old girl.
Every week to church, I would bring in my offering that I'd give then, but I had never given a large amount.
So Gabby is a girl that enjoys doing crafts and things around the home, and I'm not a super crafty person, so I had sent her to a family friend. My friend decided she wanted to teach her arm knitting, and she had gifted me the first scarf that she had made, and when I was wearing it, another gal came up to me and said, "Wow, I really like that scarf." I said, "Oh, thanks, my 10-year-old made it." And she said, "Well, I would buy that." I said, "You would?" She said, "Yeah," and she offered to give me money right there, and so I sold her my scarf.
And she came home and told me that she sold one of my scarves, and I was really excited. And then I said, "Mom, that's how I need to raise my money for Kingdom Builders." This one, you just put it around your neck, and it just goes around once. And then this one, it goes around like an infinity scarf, like this.
We've tried to teach our kids, like, just give generously. No matter what you have or what it is, and it's going to look different to everybody.
It was November, and it was getting close to the end of the year, and she was getting close to her goal, but she wasn't there.
And then I got this call from someone that I had come in contact with from Colorado, and she said, "I'd like 100 scarves." At that moment, we got to sit with Gabby and say, "Do you see what just happened? Like, this is a miracle. Like, God has just provided for you to reach your goal."
I always knew that the Lord would provide, but my mom, she had doubts at points. I'm really excited to see where God uses it and what he can do with it and how many people are going to hear about the Lord through what I gave.
Wow. How great is that? Last year, Gabby knitted close to 600 scarves for Kingdom Builders and sold them over the year. And the last week of December, she came by with her two sisters and her mom and dad, and came by the office, the whole family. And I was there, and Gabby had a check for $5,000 for Kingdom Builders. And she had looked at the Kingdom Builders list earlier in the year, and she says, "I want to help plant churches in India. So use this money to plant churches in India." And I thought, man, I was crying. Everybody was crying in the office. And it was just so special. And it's an inspiring story, but it's really a story of somebody hearing God's voice and saying, "I'm going to go for it. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to try it. I'm going to stretch. It's beyond anything I could ever do on my own, but I'm going to do it." And I think it's so great because God's got a story like that for all of us. Gabby's very special, but every Christ follower is special, and God wants to do big things in our lives that way if our heart will just be sensitive and open to what he might be stirring in our heart to do. Proverbs chapter 11 says, "Give freely and become more wealthy." Boy, you don't hear that often in the world, do you? "Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." So I want to ask two clarifying questions in week three of this series as we wrap it up. I think it's a great foundation. They're simple, but they're kind of probing questions. The first question I want to ask is this: does God look at my life and describe me as generous? Does God look at my life? Does he look at your life? And would he describe you as generous? I read this scripture last week, and I'd read it probably 70 or 80 different times before this, and this just jumped out at me, this question and this thought of what Jesus did. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple, and he watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. And it says Jesus called his disciples together and he wanted to teach them. So he called them together and he said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions." And then he explains why. "For they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on." the thought of Jesus pulling up a chair next to the offering. And they didn't have offering envelopes like we do now. They just brought their money and they put it in the plate. And Jesus sat there and he just observed people's giving. I don't think of him doing that very often. And then he said, disciples, come around, let me tell you something I've learned. That widow that gave that amount didn't seem like a lot, but it was a huge amount to her. And everybody else that gave a lot, but it was just kind of a tiny part of what they had left over. And he's like, this is the generosity that I want you to catch. And so I asked that question, does God look at my life? And would he describe me as generous? I want the answer to be yes to that. I want God to stretch me so the answer is clearly yes to that. My second question is this. So simply, do I truly have a desire to be generous? Do I truly have a desire to be generous? I believe a lot of us do. I hope all of us do. I believe if you are a Christ follower, it's kind of hardwired in there. And maybe we got to break down some of the hardness and it comes out. But I think most of us really desire to be generous. And I think those two questions are significant for the last week of this series. So I want to share with you in the last few minutes together some things that God's been working in my life over the last few years. And let me just be really clear. I don't think I've arrived in the area of giving. I think I'm learning. I think I'm growing. I think I'm in the journey. God continues to stretch me in the area of generosity. And I love that. I want to be open to that. But about a year ago, I was talking with somebody and we're in my office and they asked me what I would call a really great question. And nobody had ever asked me this question before. We were talking about kingdom builders and some other things. It was an exciting conversation. And this is what this individual said. They said, hey, Pastor Darren, what types of things can help me become more generous? I thought, what a great question. He's just like, what types of things? What can I do? What tangible things can help me become more generous? And my first response was, you know what? Nobody's really asked it that way. I think that's an awesome question. And I began processing it a little bit as I've been learning things along the way. And so I want to share with you before we wrap up this weekend's message, four things that I think fuel generosity. And again, I think they apply to everybody, so you may want to jot these down. Four things that help fuel generosity. I know they're working in my life, and I'm learning, and I'm growing in this area. But the first one is the area just simply need. Need. When I see need, generosity is fueled in me. Is anybody else that feels that way? When you see need that right in front of you, people that need Christ or a big need, there's something that rises up and you're like, I want to help meet that need, right? And that's just natural when you see need. Need is so simple, it's so basic, but it's so true. On that trip I mentioned to Cambodia a couple months ago, we were at a different location the next day and we were at this incredible ministry site that I'd never seen before. It was called the Floating Christian School. And the missionaries had built this Christian school floating on the river in Cambodia. It was four different buildings. They had built it on pontoons. And the reason they did it is because the school was built by, funded by missions, reaching children for Christ, and it was in a flood area. And that river, there was tens of thousands of Cambodians that lived along the river. And anytime the river would be at different flood stages, those people would all leave and migrate to a different section because they had to get out of there. And then the children would miss school. And so the missionary said, we're going to build this school. We're going to put it on pontoons because no matter what happens to the river, we'll just float the school down to where it needs to be. And I thought, what a really cool idea. And there was four buildings. They were kind of tied together and they had just moved the school a week before we got there. And I was hearing their story and how hundreds of people had come to Christ and little kids were paddling their canoe to church, to school every day. And they were leading these little children to Jesus and they were so thankful. And the leader of the school was talking, but they ate all their meals in their classrooms because they had no cafeteria. All their playtime was in their classrooms because they had no gymnasium of anything like that. And the leader was talking about, you know, our next thing is we want to build a small floating gymnasium and cafeteria, where the kids can play and eat together and we can have fun and just experience great things together. He says, we just want to build that for them. And he's like, as soon as we can raise the money, and I said, we'll pay for it. River Valley will do it through Kingdom Builders. Hope Pastor Rob agrees, but I said, we're in. And I mean, I they could hardly get the words out. And I grabbed him, I said, we want to be a part of that. And here's what I really thought. The schools my kids go to are amazing, are so nice, with incredible facilities. And here's what I felt in my heart. I'm like, God said, Darren, I love these kids as much as I love your kids. I love these kids the same way I love your kids. So let's resource them. So we're doing that this year through Kingdom Builders. Place yourselves in moments of need because it stretches us and it's so helpful. I'm going to share the next ones really quick. Informed giving. Informed giving. I use the term informed giving just because I believe this is maturity. This is when you've matured as a Christ follower and a giver. I would say you get the big picture. You don't have to always be in need. You look at the Kingdom Builders list. You've kind of learned about it. You're like, wow, look at those 30 things on there. 10 or 15 of them really are light my fire. I love it. It's like a Kingdom Mutual Fund. There's other areas that I'm not as passionate about, but together it makes a ton of sense. And I'm all in, and you've just grown and you have informed giving. You look at those foundations I talked about, those three foundations, you're like, you're right, those are biblical, they're solid, we're going to move forward. I think informed giving, it has helped me a ton. The next one I would share with you is wise investment is eternal investment. It fuels generosity. Wise investment is eternal investment. I believe in savings. I believe in retirement, reserve fund. I do all of those things. I'm wired that way. But I also realized the last several years, there is no better investment than investing in people finding Jesus Christ. There's no better investment. So I'll do wise financial things practically, but I want to give more to people finding Jesus Christ. I really want to do that. Matthew 6 says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Need fuels generosity. Informed giving fuels generosity. Wise investment, eternal investment fuels generosity. And before I share this fourth one with you, I want to read a scripture because it's kind of a little bit of a change of direction in these four things that fuels generosity. But Deuteronomy says, just look at these verses. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God. For when you have become full and prosperous, when you've built fine homes to live in, when your flocks and your herds have become very large, and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you. So my fourth factor that fuels generosity is simply this: never forgetting. I need to never forget that Jesus rescued me, that I was lost and Jesus found me. I was going in the wrong direction for eternity. Jesus saved my life. Jesus changed my life. And I got to never forget that but for the grace of God, I would be lost. But Jesus Christ and his love has changed my life. So I think never forgetting the difference Jesus makes and that everybody around the world deserves the opportunity to experience God's amazing love. And that's why I shared earlier in the message, that third foundation is, it's not that generosity is all about the heart. It's not about the numbers. So let's never forget that we all needed Jesus in our lives and need him in our lives. And people around the world do too. So we're going to be generous because love gives. Amen? Love gives. Let's bow our heads together. God, thank you for being so incredible and so amazing. Thank you for teaching me and all of us through this series. You've stretched us. You've challenged us. You've inspired us. I thank you, God, because none of us are done learning. And we just say thank you for the amazing love that you have shown to each and every one of us. Thank you for my life, God, that I was lost and your love and grace found me.